Well, here we go. Tuesday, January 12th edition of the Lori and Julia Show. And as you all know, January 12th is National Pharmacist Day. So we want to start out the show by just wishing all our favorite pharmacists out there a very special day from all of us on the Lori and Julia Show. And here for more on that are the Drive Time Divas. I'm Julia-ing here.
Thank you.
The Drive Time Deves. Mm-hmm. Lori and Julia.
Okay, thank you.
Julia and Lori.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, so we forgot. So yesterday I'm like, what is significant about January 11th? Why is this day ringing in my heart? Well, it was a date we were so excited about, January 11th, 2020, because that was the date we were going to Oprah Winfrey's Vision Tour at Excel Center. And it was on a Saturday, and it was very cold, and it was Your Life in Focus. And Oprah Winfrey named 9 cities she was going to go to, and it was part of WW, Weight Watchers, and it was self-discovery, part dance party, part self-improvement.
We got workbooks, but it was actually really a fun day. It feels like 100 years ago.
It was a great day, and she said, you know, basically, she talking about her spiritual core, setting the vision, living with intention. And
good thing we got to go to that before all this went. Maybe we were subconsciously even, because I carried that notebook that I did take notes
in. I did, too.
For quite a while.
I did. The power of being present and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought that was such a big day for us. And you were so poo-pooing it, like, they're going to give us an app. Look at that one again.
I was really worried.
Had such a great time. And I just remember some of the people we saw there. Molly, I'm talking about you. Mm-hmm. Lisa, you know, and some of... It was just such a great, positive female energy day.
Yes, it was.
Remember that?
Yeah. The only thing that we really laughed at was Julianne Hough and her salmon-colored...
Can energy.
Yeah, her workout gear, which just made her look like... It was labia rose.
Yeah, it was labia rose. It was a bit much.
And not all labias are rose, so I'm just saying because she's a white girl. I just felt like that whole outfit, I could not
color was so in vogue that... Labia pink last year was so in vogue in so many workout clothes, and you see it like Athleta, and you saw it in Kate Hudson's line. I just hate that color. We hate that color in general.
I like my workout clothes
dark. Same.
Navy.
Don't want to see
black.
The sweat lines.
I don't need gray.
But do you remember that was such a fun day?
It was
just a year ago.
Julia, I'm not allowing myself to do any of this just a year ago business, because that is a trail of thinking I learned early on in the pandemic. If you were going to survive this, you can't think about what were you doing a year ago, stuff that you're missing.
I only think about the positive memory. Well,
It was a positive memory because we were
excited about that date. I remember.
And we had no idea what was to come.
No, we were so excited about that date.
How long did it last? It was all day?
It was all day. It was like a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. We got lunch and everything.
It was super
fun.
Tina
Fey was there.
Tina Fey was the guest speaker. And Lady Gaga was the one before Minnesota.
We were happy with Tina Fey. She was great. Yeah, that was really, really a fun day.
Just if people wanted, because a lot of our listeners were there.
Because then next week we're going to have to relive that it would have been SAG almost.
Well, we can do that.
Oh, I can't. That one is pain. That one could make me cry.
Well,
thinking about missing that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the Oprah one doesn't make me cry. I'm glad we got to do it. The SAG, that's a painful one.
That is a painful one.
Are you sure you're invited back?
Well, they're not having
a red carpet is the rumor.
Oh, okay, really? Even when they, because it got bumped to June or something?
No,
right?
No, to the 14th of March, the same night as the Grammys.
Bigfooted them. Remember?
Remember the Bigfoot?
The Bigfoot.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay. So, yeah.
I put this off with Casey, you know, one of the little, we'll call it amuse-bouche. Is that the right word you say that? Uh-huh. The appetizer to cleanse your palate. Yeah. Amuse-bouche. Between this whole pandemic has been S Creek.
Yes.
The show.
Okay.
And
Smith's Creek.
Yeah, I just call it S Creek. Mm-hmm. And I really said to Casey, let's
savor it.
We just savor it. And we can't, you know, because there's just... Because that show exploded really in the pandemic.
I mean, at the very beginning of it and won all the awards for the Emmys.
It dropped on Netflix and stuff, but it is always aired on Pop TV. And And I remember my brother was an early one of this. And Casey and I watched like the first season of it. And then we kind of forgot about it. And we didn't watch it again, you know, because mm-hmm. it was like a long year. Anyway, we finished it last night. They're just with all the news and everything had just been so upsetting. So we watched the last four and, you know, they're only a half hour.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. We were both so bummed. And then as soon as you finish it, a year ago, when they've wrapped up what is the sixth season, sort of in summer of mm-hmm. 2019, the show had taken off a couple years ago, making critics lists and getting a lot of celebrity fans talking about it even before, you know, COVID.
Right.
So they made a documentary. So as soon as you're done watching it on Netflix, this documentary comes up called Best Wishes, Warm Regards. An S Creek farewell. It is so worth watching.
Do you have to have seen S Creek to watch the documentary?
I think so. Yeah. You would be a fan
Rob,
of it.
Will like you watch this?
I've watched one or two. I want to watch it. Same. It's got all my favorite people in it. I just haven't.
It's just joy. Okay, it is just a joy of a show, and the underlying message that's in it is such a wonderful one for all of humanity. It's just such an...
What is it?
It's just you can find... Your home is where your heart is. It's not far from, you know, Dorothy or anything like that. And but what we learned from this documentary that was so fun... So the gal plays Alexis, Rose, that actress. She hadn't worked in 2 years in Hollywood. All she was doing was going to auditions.
Is she one of the is she the daughter?
She's the sister, Alexis. Okay. And they had interviewed like 200 actresses and they just hadn't found the one. And in her audition, she was it. So they were like super excited. Eugene Levy, you know, plays the dad. He wasn't sure Dan could. He was like, "What, you want to do a show about this family that has money and loses it all?" Because all Dan had ever done was host multiple things for MTV Live, for MTV Canada.
The son never did anything acting, like Second City TV, like the dad and everything like that.
And that Moira, he wanted her to have a fabulous wardrobe because he remembered all the name checking that went on with like Sex in the City and other shows. So he wanted Moira to be in fabulous named clothes because she's just like killer. I mean, she's the new gay icon drag person. They have a 98 of 1,000 Moiras. There's so many iterations, but it was Catherine O'Hara's. She brought in the wigs because wigs help her improv and say some of the just amazingly fabulous things that Moira
So the says. Son Dan Levy was created it, directed
he went to
it,
his dad, they did a 15 minute thing, they Love talked it. Catherine O'Hara into it, and then when it got picked up they were just shocked, and then they had to cast it.
And then the minute though it was on TV for quite a few years, like 3 years, wasn't it, before it went before it went to Netflix, and then boom.
Anyway, kaboom. it's really good.
Well, that's
or
a good
maybe
endorsement.
You didn't know about it and you finished watching the show, but families are watching it together. It's just an endearing show. I could go back and watch that.
You
over
could go
again.
Back.
Yeah, because I watched the first three seasons, you know.
So long ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who can say? Who can remember what happened?
Anyway, just highly recommend that if you just need like a
smile,
a lift mm-hmm. of a show, something
that's
that
nice.
Just, I mean, that show is the one to give you some joy, let me tell you.
I like that endorsement.
All right. Listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, yesterday, Julia Sugarbaker on the February issue of Vogue. And Julia, so many people are joining you. Anna Wintour has had to issue an official statement. All kinds of brouhaha.
Who's on the cover of the
Kamala
February?
Kamala Harris. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris is on the cover. And
looking dowdier than dowdy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you want to see a February cover, Holly posted the L cover of February with Jodie Turner-Smith on the cover. Just fabulous. But anyway, I'm thinking of the December issue of Vogue had AOC on the cover and some beautiful designer, Alexandria the congresswoman.
Oh,
AOC,
yeah, yeah.
She goes by the initials.
Okay.
So anyway, in like a fabulous outfit, but somehow or another, Jenna Bush Hager already, it seemed like she already had an interview with like Kamala's niece, I think. So we'll let GMA take the story.
It's one of the most coveted covers in publishing, Vogue, signifying more than just style or status, but also celebrating a moment in history.
Vote, vote, vote!
And for Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, many are saying this moment missed the mark.
Exciting, right? But it's not without controversy.
Vogue releasing two versions of the cover online. A print version featuring the VP in a casual look wearing Converse sneakers, and a second, more formal digital cover. Reaction was swift and critical, many criticizing the casual nature of the cover. One person tweeting, "It was disrespectful." Noted Washington Post critic Robin Gavon writing, "The cover did not give Kamala D. Harris due respect. It was overly familiar. It was a cover image that, in effect, called Harris by her first name without invitation." Even the vice president-elect's niece, Mina Harris, tweeting, "Please don't ask me about the cover. This week has been hard enough."
Oh, I thought the niece was on. And Robin Givens also said, "To be on the cover of Vogue is such a huge thing.
Huge.
This was like," she said something basically, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, "Kamala Harris did not get her roses with this cover because it is such a cheap looking, shoddy looking thing." Let's just play the one more audio and then I'll give you the Anna Wintour, because she got dragged by her little Bob all over the internet for 24 hours.
"I sat down with Harris Monday to talk about her upcoming children's book, Ambitious Girl, where she also shared her reaction to the cover.
It deserves the proper celebration of that moment, especially, you know, for a magazine that often has not had Black women on the cover. I love the photos of the powder blue suit. I love those. And I think that Tyler is incredibly talented. And of course, the woman who wrote the article, it's a lovely, amazing, inspiring interview."
Both images were shot by photographer Tyler Mitchell, who in 2018 became the first Black person to shoot a Vogue cover. Vogue releasing a statement saying in part, "The team at Vogue loved the images Tyler Mitchell shot and felt the more informal image captured Vice President-elect Harris's authentic, approachable nature, which we feel is one of the hallmarks of the Biden-Harris administration." Adding, "We're celebrating both images of her as covers digitally." For Harris's niece, the focus should be on her aunt's message, not the controversial cover.
"I think, again, it's a big moment, and I'm glad that, you know, Tyler captured images in that blue suit that I think are deserving of that, you know, of this extraordinary moment."
And the thing is that Vogue didn't, and they're saying that they never had an agreement with the vice president-elect's office to have this, the more beautiful cover,
the blue powder suit, blue suit
with the gold,
respectful.
Yes, that was from Harris's point of view, her team, that was the cover, and the other picture was inside of it. And
let's roll up our sleeves and get some work done, kind of. Well, but still, she's the vice president of the United States.
Even to say, though, even in the statement that Anna puts out, that they wanted her to look accessible and approachable, like what a regular person looks like, which the Hollywood speak on that.
She's
of
not
course,
regular.
She thinks peasants look bad. This is how regular people that wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's not a regular person. She's the vice president of the United States in a week.
Yes.
She's the first female vice president of the United States. It's a historic moment. And again, she just looks dowdy.
I'm curious why Anna changed the cover when they agreed on the other cover. That is what's not really being addressed here at all.
Yeah, I don't
know.
I mean,
they're flat out just saying that they didn't have that agreement in place. And let's face it, Kamala Harris, as vice president-elect, has way bigger things to be worrying 100%. About than this.
100%.
So they're not going to push back on that storyline. But it's so, it kind of shows how out of date Anna Wintour is in her thinking. Mm-hmm. It really is, because I look back, I mean, you know, Vogue is $7.99 on the newsstand.
Right. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, maybe $25 or $35, you know, to subscribe for a year. But to me, they had a real chance to sell a lot of the magazine.
100%, especially coming off of their big success with Harry Styles.
Yes.
And where it sold out and there was enthusiasm and excitement over freshness. But again, when people look at it, if anyone wants to call in, 651-641-1071.
We don't really have any time for that. But
if you want to, gosh, Lori, you're so...
Well, I'm just saying we're running out of time. Yeah. If you would look at the clock. I love when you invite people to call.
I love it when you're going to be back.
But anyway, I just think, you know, Kamala just, you know, I mean, she has... This would have been if, like, you and I have done photo shoots over the years, and we go through those things. And, I mean, if we had a constipated smile like this, neither one of us would approve of the other person of what that... Because to me, that smile is a constipated fake smile.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. Well, and I just think...
I'm glad Anna got dragged by her Bob.
Same.
Anyway, you know, I'm just saying, May 1st is coming, the Met Gala. She's just not with it.
You know, Lori,
she's not with it. Here's somebody who's with it. Jason Wu is launching a makeup brand at Target. And according to the people at Allure, it's worth it.
Really?
It's a 25 product makeup line with an extensive range of nudes. Quote unquote skin colors.
I'm looking at it right now. We would want the eyeshadow. I'm already buying it. I can already see this and it's affordable. Well, you know, Target talked about expanding their makeup area to have better brands. And isn't it Ulta Beauty that's partnering with them?
Yeah, they're going to have like
Ulta Beauty inside of Target, like how Sephora is inside of JCPenney's.
When do you, I mean, I very often. I always buy something in makeup at Target if I'm in there.
Because it's right. It's the most well-lit section of the store. Yeah, and it's just
right there.
It's right there. And it's begging you, buy me, buy me, buy me. It's so well-lit. I think it's
intoxicating.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's intense. It's intentional on their part to get us going.
Oh, look at the time, Julia.
I know. I wasn't looking at the clock. Sorry about that.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are delighted. And we were off our producing game, Pamela McNeil. Otherwise, we would have introduced you with one of your own songs.
Oh, my gosh. It's all good.
Hey. Hi, you.
And Pamela McNeil, songwriter, very talented singer-songwriter, and just one of our favorite people. And we follow you on Facebook and Twitter, you know, everywhere. And we're so... happy about that, you know, because one of the things we were enjoying, you know, before we had to shut down because of the COVID was spreading so bad, was the shows at the Chanhassen in the big dinner theater side of music were really doing quite well. And it was a way to get people's, you know, performing and getting paid again. And right. Now that's back and you're going to tell us about it.
First of all, I'm so happy to talk to you, too. I miss you, and it's so great to be here, and it's so great to be talking about good news for once.
No kidding.
We are so excited. Yes, Rumors and Dreams, my Fleetwood Mac tribute, are at the Chan this weekend, and first concert back after the shutdown around Thanksgiving, and we're just so excited. I mean, you know, even if it's, you know, 25%, just to have a crowd full of people, you know, who just want to be there and have us be able to perform for people, just that live kind of connection that you do the online stuff, but it's just not the same, you know. You do as good as you can, but just to have that is like this gift that I think everybody kind of will never take for granted again, you know, getting to do that. And the Chan does such a great job with all the social distancing, and they have a new air filtration system, and it's just, I'm super excited to get to see everybody again.
That room is big.
It usually
seats
600 people. The max that you will have for a show is 150. Yeah. And it's huge. Right. And so, and there's, you know, people can have food. They can go there for dinner ahead of time. So it's just like, you know, how the distancing is going on in restaurants right now. But it's even bigger.
I almost feel like the Chanhassen Dinner Theater is like the Carlton Supper Club right now.
Celebrity.
Celebrity room.
Yes. No, they do such a great job there. And everybody that I've known that, you know, that was coming before we got shut down again, just had nothing but great things to say. And so it's just, I just have to say hats off to them for doing such a great job and taking everyone's safety in the considers, making it priority number one. And also hats off to all the musicians that I've worked with who do such a great job at that.
Right, okay. So the Rumors and Dreams, the Fleetwood Mac show that you're doing, it's Friday and this Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
Saturday sold out, Jules.
Oh, of course, you always sold out, Pamela. How much is left for Friday? Just limited?
There are a handful of tickets, I believe. You have to call the box office, but... As soon as we didn't know what was going to happen, and as soon as it went on sale, it just sold like hotcakes. So, I think people were ready to just get out and do something. But call the box office. There are a handful of tickets. They also have some great shows coming up, in the weeks to come. Tom Petty tribute, Daryl Hall and John Oates and Van Morrison. And then I'll be back with Wild Angels. March 5th and 6th at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater with my best friends, Mary Jane Alm and Amy Lee, and that's really a fun show, too. So
there's so many great shows coming up. I mean, you have The Gospel According to Elvis, Cat Stevens. I mean, this is so... Go to the Chanhassen Dinner Theater .org? What is it? People can figure it out.
It's at Chanhassen DT, as in D for dinner, T for theater, .com.
And I will say, the state-of-the-art air filtration system and the safety protocols, people are finding, this isn't spreading, COVID at the Chan.
Right.
It was limited number bars where people are on top of each other, blah, 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 blah. And it's a respectable group, and how fun to hear live music. And so for you, you performed this fall live, right?
Yeah, I did, yes.
What was that like?
Angels there, and, it was awesome. I didn't know what to expect. But it was just, I think, it was just wonderful. I can't even say enough about it. Everybody felt safe, and everybody was like, oh, my God, this is so great to be able to, get out again and see music. And so it really was, it felt wonderful.
I'm so glad. This just makes me happy. And Lori is our live music gal, she's just, and so is Rocco.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think, the thing that a friend of mine who went to one of these shows before the shutdown, and it was this tribute show that Mick Sterling was doing, but she's like, my husband loves the limited size crowd because has been his beef with going out, is he doesn't like watching music with so many people.
In general, before COVID and everything.
Before COVID happened. And so the fact that...
An introvert's dream come true.
Kind of.
It's true. It's true. Well, and I also really love that you can have your dinner there.
Yes.
You don't have to go to any other part, any place. You can just sit there and, like, have a night out,
I love this.
I know.
Lori,
plus, the food is good at Chan. We've always liked the food.
We love the Chan.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my God, the chicken Chan.
The chicken Chan. And then is Stevie Ray, are they doing the comedy improv and the Fireside?
They've got a new show opening this weekend at the Fireside, starting again. I think it's on weekends, if I'm not correct, mistaken. In the Fireside,
Pamela,
so it's just so good to have everybody back.
It really is. How's the songwriting?
Oh, my God. You guys, I have been writing like I don't even know. I don't even know what's going to happen. I write and I don't even listen to it. I just go to the next one. So I've got a whole phone full of like 300 ideas.
Well, that's so great.
Yeah, I plan on trying to start working on a new album here coming up really soon because I have nothing else to do. So
I just, it seems like this would be the one thing that songwriters, and I would call you a prolific songwriter when we look at, all the great songs that you've written and your beautiful voice. I mean, you are the love child of Stevie Nicks, Janis Joplin, and Chrissy Hynde.
Still my favorite quote of all time.
Yeah, you are. I mean, that's how your voice, it just sounds like it can hit all of that. And I always want like Kelly Clarkson, or I just want somebody to record one of your songs so you can just make a gajillion dollars.
Well, the great thing about songwriting, there is days when I just want to give up, but you can't give up because that could happen. You never know,
mm-hmm. Pamela, will you... just like tell Rocco a song that he could pick. I forget the last song that we had when we had you on. I feel like it was a country, so he can find that.
Yes.
What
you
song?
Could play a little bit of Solitary or Dear Radio.
All right, Rocco, do you mind looking for those? Either
I
those?
Will look for those,
so
yeah.
Solitaire. Yeah, because
it's so nice to hear your voice, honey. And I ran into one of your CDs the other day. I literally.
American Dreams?
It was at the cabin.
American Breakup?
And, yeah.
American Breakup. Yeah.
And at the cabin, I have a CD player inside. And I put it in, and I'm just like, this just brings back the best memories of meeting you our very first time at the State Fair. And you coming.
No, I met her at Bunkers.
Well, you met her before
no,
that.
No, you know, I think where it did was we meet? At Grandma's Marathon.
Oh, that's right. You yes. That's right. You played before GB in the tent.
That's right. Remember those days? That was wild.
We can't wait for him to come back.
I can't either. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Rocco's going to try to find it. So here we go. Here's a little Pamela McNeil.
Solitary.
That song in particular.
Yeah,
I'm just.
You know what? I had the song title, and I was going to go down to Nashville like the next day, and I literally wrote it like in 20 minutes. I mean, it just came to me.
Oh my God! Yeah. You and Dolly.
I love Dolly.
I know it. That's how yes. She though has described her songwriting. Thing is that sometimes they just, you know,
yep.
They just come to you.
It's kind of like it's sort of like a stream of, I don't know, it's like it comes from somewhere else and it just filtrates through your, I don't know, into your body somehow. It comes out. It's weird.
And then do you come up with so the lyrics come first, or sometimes you get the lyrics and the tune?
You know what? It's all different. Sometimes it's the lyric. It might just be like that. I had the word solitary. I like the idea of living, being in solitary confinement, kind of feeling like you are, because I was going through my divorce, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of what that's about. And then sometimes it's a hook that comes. It's maybe a chorus hook. And then you try to work your way towards it. And sometimes it's the melody that comes first. But you kind of know when the good ones are to work on them. But they kind of lead you, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could happen either way.
Pamela, did you ever have an experience like Keith Richards and roll over and press record on your cassette to hear what you'd written the night before?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. I have. I don't, not a cassette, but like with my phone.
Okay.
There's been times where I'll leave something. I'm like, what was that? Oh, my God. That's actually good.
That's Pamela McNeil.
Yeah, that's always one of my Keith Richards stories that I love is the hook. I think, Rocco, was it Satisfaction that he said that? That he reached over and pressed play, and that was like the Satisfaction.
I'm trying to remember.
He just told it in the memoir, and it's kind of a famous story. He said it in interviews. So it's my go-to musician question, Pamela.
Oh no, it's all good. You know, it's a mystery to me too. So
well, we're so delighted that Chan is open for business and that you have all these great shows, and if you can't go this weekend to Pamela McNeil's Rumors and Dreams, then you've got Tom Petty tribute, you've got Hall & Oates with Mick Sterling, Van Morrison, Sinatra, Peter Paul and Mary, Patsy Cline. I mean, there's so much good stuff happening there, and Stevie Ray's comedy is going on all the time, so yay.
Yeah, and I would check out tickets sooner rather than later.
Yes,
yeah.
Because like you said, yeah. There's just a few left for Friday night, but Saturday sold out.
And yep, exactly, like but check and see.
Well, Happy New Year, honey. It's so good to hear from you, and we're glad that Chan Hansen is open.
Yeah, me too, and you know what? I just love you guys. You know, keep rocking and doing your thing, because you guys really make a beautiful difference in the world.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you for saying that. All right, take care, woman.
Cheers. Okay, you too.
All right, when we come back, we've got, Tom Jones. Tom Jones.
20 lashes with a wet noodle for us, because last week when we did our new Music Friday, we left off Zane's song, and in a Billboard poll of the best new releases last week,
this
Vibes beat Taylor Swift's song right where you left me, and it's time to go as the favorite song of
and
the
Zane is one of our One Direction guys, isn't he?
And it's Vibes with a Z. Do we like it? It's
I do.
Rocco.
Sounds kinda, like
I don't know. I would never download this song or listen to it again.
No, well how I would lose it on I'd listen on new music this week.
It could be on a sexy time loop. I'd have it be in there. I could see how you could,
put on some high heels.
Yeah,
I can see that.
High heels in your home, Rocco.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We had the shoe conversation yesterday.
I'm feeling that part of the song, Okay, so in other music news, well, I know there are two big Tom Jones fans around here, Petit Moi and Colleen Lindstrom. And I don't know about Rocco.
I think she's bigger than you.
I'm in on Tom Jones.
You are in on Tom Jones. And really,
I forgot he was knighted. He's Sir Tom
Jones. Sir Tom Jones. That is correct. And at Bonnaroo 2018, one of the highlights for Casey and I was seeing Tom Jones.
He's a lady. Will you find that song? Because that is a song.
Okay, but no, we don't get him out of order.
That's right. Yeah. We're listening to other stuff.
But he was really, I mean, even Casey was blown away. And at the time, 2 years ago, I think Tom Jones was like 77.
Didn't his wife recently pass away?
Possibly. That might be his long-suffering wife who never left Scotland or Wales.
But still, he was gutted.
Yeah, but he looked like a million bucks. He had the high-waisted pant on.
Only 2 years ago. That was longer than that.
No, it was just, it'll be 3 years this May, but it was in 2018. Jeez. And he had the high-waisted pants on. He had a blazer on. I mean, it was just,
So his voice is still good.
His voice is so good. Okay. And he is on The Voice UK. And
he's one of the judges?
One of the judges. And he just, for whatever reason, breaks out into this Solomon Burke song, which I guess I forgot Solomon Burke.
I don't even know who that is.
Sang this song, Don't Cry to Me. You know it from Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, he leans over to another one of the judges and he's like, have you ever heard the song? I think you'll hear that at the beginning.
He looks fantastic. What
about, you ever hear Cry to Me? Solomon Burke?
Nah.
When your baby leaves you all alone.
David?
Yes, it's on.
And nobody calls you on the phone. Don't you feel like crying?
Oh, gosh.
Don't you feel crying.
Wow. Woo.
Here I am, baby. Come on and cry to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room.
Oh, my God. So good.
And there's nothing but the smell of her
baby. Boy, he's 80 years old.
I know.
Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Come
He's
on.
He's great.
That cry to me. Middle age. Whoa. Nothing.
And this is some impromptu.
Than a glass of
I'm so impressed.
Julia, that is a full-throated baritone on that man. And really, in his mind, I think he's 40 and he sings like that.
Oh, he sounds good.
He sounds great.
Amazing. So if you get a chance to see Tom Jones, because we were like, oh, Tom Jones is going to be, we were not properly excited. And even though my parents love Tom Jones, it was the only American show that came on once a week in Japan when we lived there on Saturday night. We got the Tom Jones show from the UK.
Wow.
At like midnight. And I just remember begging my mom, please, can I stay up or can I spend the night at a friend so I could watch a show in English?
He does have some 2020 tour dates. Oh, but they're in Germany.
Yeah.
In Belfast.
2020 or 2021?
2021. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all in the UK, Spain.
Yeah. Because he's just amazing.
Well, one of the things that I think is...
And you do know that song.
I do know that song. Yeah. What I think is kind of such a hit there, though, because that's The Voice, right? Or is that The X Factor?
The Voice.
Okay. So The Voice here could use someone of character, of age, of...
Well, remember the rumor was it was Cher.
I mean, they need somebody because I'm so not interested in Joe Jonas.
Yeah.
And I'm so done with Blake Shelton. And I don't care about Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kelly Clarkson I care about.
Yeah.
But I feel like if they went with some age and some history and some...
Get somebody cool. There's a lot of cool people.
There are a ton of cool people out there that are older that would just give it something different that could maybe get some eyeballs back on it again.
I mean,
because I really don't care about Blake Shelton anymore.
No,
that's just when I was watching this clip, I thought to myself, I would watch this.
This version of the voice, exactly.
I would, and if you had contemporaries that are all in their 70s or their 80s or whatever, it'd be so much fun because they have so many stories to tell.
I mean, that is one reason why I did go back to American Idol when it was Keith Urban, Jennifer Lopez, and Aerosmith, you know, Steven yes. Tyler. I loved Steven Tyler's right. little bon mots and his little stories and his little asides and his sayings. To me, he was like a Matthew McConaughey, like this guru wisdom. You never knew sure. what he was going to say. And he would often break out into song, and he could do that.
Something different.
Yeah.
Because it seems so formulaic. It really.
Paging Barry Gibb. He would be amazing.
He would yes. be. I mean, yeah, someone like that. And Barry Gibb, Kris Kristofferson, and who's our pot smoking guy?
Willie Nelson. Well, here, Rocco picked a song. Barry Gibb's Greenfields album is number one in the UK.
It's so good. It's good.
It's on its way here, but it is number one, the collection. And Rocco, what BGs did you?
Well, right now I got Brandy Carlile queued up, but I could also be tempted to play the Olivia Newton-John.
Well, let's play them both.
Okay, here it comes. This is called Run to Me with Brandy.
Oh, I love this song. Run
to me. Oh, wow. That's good.
You need someone.
That's
nice, huh?
So darling, you run to me. Beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy Carlile.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, so good. Do we have time for one more, Rocco?
Sure. Let me cue up.
That's lovely.
Yeah. So this, I think, was a duet between Olivia and Andy Gibb back in the day.
All
this is called Rest Your Love on Me.
And if I was them, I'd be right by your side.
I remember the song.
Lay your troubles on my shoulders.
I'm so glad he's got this album out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We gotta go to break.
All right, thanks, Rocco.
We'll be right back.